Hello and welcome to the 22nd Manx Footy Pod of the season. Today, myself and Disco.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by former Peel winger and reigning RNFA Player of the Year, Lee Gale. So without further ado, let's get on with it. Welcome, Lee, to Podcast Towers.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming in. It's always a pleasure to get a leading sportsman in many sports.
We're branching out this week as well. Yes, football this
diversifying
week.
To try and get some more hits. That's the, or listens, should I say. Yeah. I'm sure the four people that listened to us last week in Senegal will be tuned back in.
Well, we're gearing up for the British Podcast Awards, aren't we?
Yes, it's, yeah. Good plug, Dave. I like what you're thinking. We'll post a link to that later on Twitter. But for those of you who don't know, at least swap football boots for cycling cleats. That's right, isn't it? Cleats, is it? Is that
yes,
the right thing?
Cleats.
Cleats earlier this season, and he's now headed to the Island Games as part of the Manx mountain biking squad. So I suppose we should start off with what brought about the change then, mate? Because obviously you've been doing pretty good at football.
Obviously, I've always done football. It's a bit of a weird one, really. I for some reason, bought a mountain bike. It was Christmas 2015, right. And I actually bought it, believe it or not, to get rid of me hangovers on a Sunday morning from the Saturday session. And it just sort of went from there. I entered a race. I think the first competitive race I did was the 16th of December, 2015.
Right.
I won it, and it went from there. I had no intention of getting into it. It was literally, it was to clear the head on a Sunday.
Had you done any as a kid? Had you been
messed around on a bike, but nothing serious. Never raced. It was just, you know, pure fun. Yeah. 9 times out of 10, it was using it to get to a football pitch to play footy. But yeah, just completely out of the blue.
That's an inspiration for you.
Well, it's slightly different because we had Adam and P in earlier in the season, and Adam also uses a bike, doesn't he? his famous pub bike. So it's sort of synergy there, really.
It's a Western thing.
Yeah, but is that still missing? Did we ever find out if that was returned?
We'll put another appeal out, I think.
I believe he got it back.
He did?
I think he did.
It's the power of the podcast.
But, it was a vintage model, I know that much.
Well, I think at the time we did say you could maybe do some training on it, but there you go. So you're going to become one of, we were talking about this morning, weren't we? A fairly select bunch to have represented the island at two different sports. Now, we came up with a few names off the thing. We think Rob Sorby might have done cycling and football before, has he? The Island Games?
Rob's done both.
Yeah.
But someone brought this to my attention the other day. I don't think he's won a medal with both.
Ah, right.
So he's represented. I've obviously won a silver with the football. I'm going for the mountain biking, and the mountain biking team is tipped to win the gold.
Well, I was there last time.
They won it. They destroyed it last time.
They absolutely annihilated the opposition.
And
so no pressure, then, Lee.
No pressure. But it'd be nice to come home with the gold medals as well.
So you must have been pretty chuffed to get into the considering, admit yourself, you're a bit of a novice. Yeah.
Yeah, complete novice to it, to be fair, especially the guys that I'm up against, Nick, Elliot, Danny and Alex Rockwell, all done mountain biking for a number of years and very good. Elliot's obviously represented Great Britain and he's been to Commonwealth Games and stuff. Nick's sort of on the cusp of Commonwealth Games in 2018, so that's the level that I'm sort of trying to get to and compete against. So I'm just going to go out there with an open mind. I know I'm going to be seeded fifth, so that's the way the races will work. You'll have Nick as your number one seed, more than likely. Yeah. Elliot, Danny, Rocky, then me. So I'll start at the back of the grid. And then you've just got to basically move your way forward. This is something that I'm going to find in the British races, which are up and coming as of April, in the National Series. Because I run on a B licence, I've never raced before in the UK, I'll be seeded at the back. So if you're in a field of 60... Whereas over here, I'm starting at the front and I've got a clear path. I've got to basically make my way through 60 people before I can get to the front. So we'll see how it goes.
But is it like obviously Dave's more a favourite with the cycling than I am, but when you look at road cycling, you have a peloton and you have your domestics and your people. Is it similar in the mountain biking? Will you have to do a role for the others within the team? Or
I don't know how much, because I've never been involved, I don't know how much team tactics will be involved. I don't really know how the point system works. I think it's the top three riders, if you finish in the top 10 positions, you'll get allocated points.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's thereafter. So they take your three best riders' results. So if Nick won it and Elliot come third and Danny come ninth, you're basically winning gold.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how that works. So it's a bit, yeah, it's...
So it'll be interesting to see.
As I say, it's all brand new to me. I know nothing about bikes. I if I get a puncture, one of them fixes it. I just get on it and ride it.
You talked about, obviously, teams being tipped to win gold. What's the feeling like amongst the group of you? Are you feeling confident?
Yeah, very strong. I mean, training's going ridiculously well at the minute. Morning sessions, afternoon sessions, sometimes double sessions. So that's a case of we were down the NSC this morning for 6 o'clock. Wow. Train until 7:45 and then in for work, and then probably just a light session tonight on the turbo when I get home. Saturday rides and Sunday rides are even better. And you know, for me, it's just crazy to think that the performance rides that we're doing that are led by Andy Roach, you know, Mark Cavendish is coming out with us.
Yeah.
You know, we've been out with Ben Swift, Cal Crutchlow was out with the weekend. You know, to be side by side with them guys who are so down to earth. And you know, the first ride I went with them, I got blown out the back.
Yeah.
You know, we did one lap around Arbury, and we went up Grenaby, and like Cav just turned around to me and he was like, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm not okay." I couldn't hold on. Obviously, I live in Foxdale, so once we got to the top of Solomon's Corner, I said, "Right, I'm off." They were like, "Fair play, you've done well."
Yeah.
It's the first ride you've been at that pace before. When I got home and checked what they'd done, they'd done like 90 miles. I'd done 40, and that's keeping it at a consistent pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the difference between, you know.
So you're doing a bit on the road as well.
Loads on the road because it's harder work on the road. So it's like it's high work and not as much recovery. So that obviously you get so many more gains when you're doing the mountain biking.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, there's a lot of team and tactics involved with the road, whereas the mountain biking, it's very much for yourself.
Yeah.
If you can hang on to the front group, you hang on and then you have a battle on the last lap.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously in road cycling, you have like a lead out man, a blocker, a shield, you've got the sprinter, which is, you know, coming at the end. So there's a lot of tactics involved of road cycling.
You mentioned obviously going off Ireland in April. What sort of competitions have you got lined up so far?
So the Manx National Series, they start in 2 weeks' time. They're sort of multiple laps held over an hour around our plantations. So again, I'm really racing against four other people in my eyes, possibly five, including Ross Thorley, with the elite riders. Going away, as I say, the fields will probably get up to about 60, where you're either doing six laps or you're just racing for an hour in a block.
Wow.
And it's basically who crosses the line first. That's how it works.
Yeah. So that'll be so that is all forest set, I presume.
Yeah.
Because there's different disciplines of mountain biking, isn't it? You've got downhill and all
yeah,
sorts of
all,
stuff
all like. Of my stuff's cross country riding. Right. So there's enduro tracks in there. There's a lot of technical drops and steep bits in it, but not downhill that you would see like full body body armor. There'll just be like little snippets of it. The race.
So what have Nick and the other guys been like welcoming you into the team and egging you on a bit? Have they been good?
Yeah, really good. Everyone has. It's not like football where you know you've got the banter and everybody sort of. You know, I know everyone from football, so I'm still getting to know them. I've only been with them for 6 months. Elliot's been great. He's my coach. He's obviously doing all the training with me. Nick, great, just gives me little like sort of tips and hints, which is great. And obviously, Danny and Alex are great as well.
Great stuff. So we reckon you've still got some way to go, and obviously, if you win the two medals, that'd be pretty impressive. But we reckon
with them two medals, that's team.
Yeah,
I'm being realistic here. Yeah. people keep saying, oh, you know, you're gonna win gold, and it's like that's team. I'm not being stupid. There's a long way to go to win gold as individual.
But you reckon you still got some way to go to our man Arnie Patel, is this right? We had a look in, he went to Bermuda in 2013. We reckon he did the long jump, the 4x100 relay and gymnastics, all in the same games. So this would be probably the equivalent of you doing your bike, then getting off, going and playing on the right wing for the man for 45 minutes, then going and maybe doing one of the road races just for a laugh
just
as well.
Did you see yourself doing another sport after this?
Golf, maybe?
Yeah. No. I can't play. I can hit it far, but I can't do anything else.
So do you think, and you said you started 2015, so you had obviously had a season where you were doing bits of both.
Yep.
Do you think it was beneficial to your football game, doing that extra training?
It definitely helped me fitness-wise.
Yeah.
I seem to remember being told by Nigel Shimmon that I always used to fade in games. which is, you know, that's perfectly true. I probably wasted a lot of silly energy where, you know,
yeah,
could have used it wisely in other areas, and it would get to like the 80 minute mark and I'd have nothing left. So when I started the cycling, obviously my leg power increased, my lung capacity opened up massively, and it allowed me to obviously do more.
Yeah.
On the downside of it was, I was getting really tight, and my hamstrings started to not pull, but I felt
right,
it.
Right,
so there was
right.
a lot of times where we were playing games, Russian springs to mind, where I couldn't even go in for half time. I had to stay outside and keep running around.
Wow, wow.
Because if I'd have stopped, I would have just seized up. That happened down at Laxey and I had to come off. I don't know what it would be like if I went back and played now.
Yeah.
I know I felt it. My last game I played was obviously the combi game down at St John's.
Only got a few goals in that game, wasn't it? Six?
Six or seven, yeah. I don't know.
Not bad.
just 19 more to get to 200. Yeah. That'll do me.
So you felt it in that game?
Felt it big time, yeah. I mean, the first 15 minutes, I trained within the week and I felt absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
But actually playing on a heavy pitch down at St John's, because it was pretty wet as well.
Yeah.
First 15, I was like Bambi on ice.
Right.
And then they were all laughing, Cole Hartman, Peter Kenyuk, everyone. When I walked out of the changing rooms, I struggled to drive home. I was that sore.
Wow.
And I didn't actually feel my body get back to normal until Thursday of the next week.
Wow, that's pretty mental. And how is the body recovering normally? Because if you're doing all this, because it's ticking over constantly, you're training that much, you don't...
Absolutely, really... now I don't feel a thing.
Yeah.
So obviously, Monday night was 30 miles, last night was 40 miles, this morning we did 25. I feel fine and I'll go out again tonight, rest tomorrow, and then we'll probably do 70 miles Saturday, 70 miles Sunday.
Wow, that's a lot of mileage, yeah.
So this off season, when you were doing football and cycling properly, it coincided with a brilliant season for you personally as well, and Peel, but you got the Player of the Year award as well. So
yeah.
Do you think it must have had a good benefit then?
Fitness wise, it did, yeah. I had no idea I was going to win it, to be fair. I didn't even cross my mind. I said it when I won it, I was quite shell shocked, to be fair. And then when I spoke to people, they were like, no, you've had a really good season.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It adds up. Look at your team of the weeks and your goals, this, that, and the other. But you don't play football for them type of awards.
No.
And, you know, you play it because it's a team event. You know, it's like I say, if you were 2-on-1, and there was, you know, the keeper's there, you pass it to your striker for an open goal. You know,
unlike Di Maria last night.
Unlike Di Maria, that's what I keep saying. And again, I go back to that point when we beat Castown in the... when we beat Geordies down at Castown in the FA Cup. That was exactly the same when Ash scored the winner. I could have had a shot,
mm-hmm.
you know, but to be safe and actually win that cup, it meant more to get that goal for the team
than
it did to have your name on the back of the paper. Oh, you've won.
So. Yeah. Gale Force, it's always good. Yeah. your sabbatical. I'm gonna call it a sabbatical.
Yeah.
I still think you may return at some point. We can talk about that a bit later. But
and you still want a Gale number 7 shirt for Christmas? You see,
yeah, so. That's it. Yeah, has coincided with a tough season for Peel. It has to be said. You know, Ash is leaving in a matter of weeks.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Middle of April. Yeah.
Do you think the club can bounce back? You know, it's a big... You've lost... There's so many things going against it at the moment.
I feel a bit guilty, to be honest with you.
You wouldn't have known when you left about, you know, Sandgate and all that, would you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the boys had an inkling that it was coming.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, when I put my hand up, and I'm pretty sure I was the first one, Max obviously stops playing.
Yeah.
Josh stops playing. Who else stopped playing? I'm sure there was somebody else.
We've had
and then injuries. The
injuries
and stuff.
Yeah.
So obviously they're your mates. Mm. We've been so close for 2 years, and then that happens, and you see them down in seventh place in the league. But if you look at it again, the league, take Geordies out of the equation. What is there, 3 or 4 points between six teams?
Yeah,
so close.
So technically, it's not actually that bad.
No.
Because in my eyes, Geordies are going to win everything.
Yeah.
They are a cut above the rest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we had a good go for 2 years and we only won one thing.
Yeah.
And they absolutely schooled us in them 3 games, to be fair. Yeah. All right, they got a little bit lucky in the game down at Peel. We probably should have won that. We had 2 free penalties and missed them. But I don't think it's that bad.
No.
I don't think Peel have lost this year.
Yeah. We've been talking about this pretty much every week. We've said that they've sort of back. There's a bit of consistency going back now.
Four wins of the bounce, I think, now, is it?
Or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Ash is going to be a massive miss because he is obviously the goal source, and he's obviously a fantastic footballer as well. But they've got people like Kez can play up front, Ryan Holloway can play up front.
Young Billy's coming
through. Billy Kenyuk's obviously doing really well. He's probably going to get Peel's Young Player of the Year. So it's not all doom and gloom, you know what I mean?
Do you think the FA Cup win, I vote it's sort of inflated thoughts of this year we're going to challenge again, or do you think it was an unrealistic? It was
the one at Castletown.
Yeah.
It's.
But no, as in,
nobody thought when we won it, it wasn't a case of like we're going to win the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case at all. I think when we won it, it was like, right, we've won it. Let's enjoy it. Remember what this feels like, and then try.
Use it to spur you on.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we struggle with badly, and I know this isn't an excuse, but Peel, ever since I come into the fold when I was 16, have never played well midweek. Never played well. You could go anywhere. You could be playing against, this is no disrespect, you could be playing against Governors Athletic.
Yeah.
We would struggle. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's a mental thing. Whereas I've watched other teams and they seem to just turn it on and play well.
Maybe the players need the promise of going to the Whitey on a Wednesday night.
So I can't put my finger on it. But we just didn't turn up. It's as simple as that. And just some of us had to have a look in the mirror because we started doing something that we never do, and I moan all the time, but we started moaning at each other, and then that doesn't help, and it doesn't look good from the sides.
No.
So does seeing the team struggle a little bit make you want to play more, make you think more about
football? I do miss football. Yeah. You know, it's the one sport other than cycling and rugby league that I absolutely love. And I miss the boys, I miss the training. I love training, absolutely love training. But for what I'm doing at the minute and the options that have opened up for me and the doors that I can go through, I can't really pass this up. I'm only 25, so it's not as if I can't go back to football. But for the time being, while this is rolling and what I've done in 6 months, let's just see where it goes.
It's fair enough. It probably answers my next question. Do you play again? So you're just not saying never, but just not at the moment.
Yeah.
Right, now, the favourite part of the podcast, it's the Twitter questions.
Yes.
Go on, Dave. Hit us with our first one.
Oh, well, it's one of our favourites. It's Johnny Hogg. He just a bit of a loaded question.
You said he quite liked the Hale and Pace reference last week.
He loved it. He kept on referring to him and John as Dumb and Dumber.
Right. Okay. So, fair enough. Yeah. Give them more credence there than they perhaps should have.
Who's the best match official that you've ever seen over here?
Well, he's thinking about it. There's a look of concentration on Lee's face here.
No, I don't normally get on with referees. we're always the experts, aren't we? And they always get it wrong. It's a tough one. I always used to like, I think his name, is it Mark Thomas?
Yeah.
It's always from like a junior level. I always like when Mark ref that you knew it was going to be fair.
Yeah. Well, you can stay with Mark.
I'll stay with Mark.
He's a good ref. He's one of the more experienced ones as well.
The Hitman Hatton has, of course, tweeted in a couple of questions before he's jetting off to Goodison Park this weekend, isn't he?
Yes, and then Alti Ladies as well.
What a double header that is. He asks, tell us about your early days in football when you were playing for Foxtails. How many seasons were you there, Lee?
One season. I always said I'd play my first season there, and I'd play my last season there.
Right, okay.
I've lived in Foxtail all my life, went to primary school there, and it's just that's where I'm from. Yeah. So that, for me, set me up so well, I think, in senior football, because I at that time I was 14, turning 15, so obviously I'm the youngest in my year. And you were playing against people that were literally just trying to empty you, like decapitate you, like grown men who were miles off the pace. So you learn to sort of get battle hardened, toughen up, ride tackles, dodge tackles, and playing on Billy Goat Park, it was like a lake. So, you know, where you're playing a normal pitch and, you know, you probably would last a full game and wouldn't feel it. You were basically playing on a swamp every weekend.
Yeah.
So what that did for you is just unbelievable.
And have you been following this season? Obviously, they were flirting with the promotion places.
I couldn't believe it. They bombed it, didn't they? Yeah. I went up and watched the Castletown game.
Yeah.
And they were 5-3 up.
Yeah.
And I seen Skiffs, the manager, with Robbie Jack.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't know who, they brought one of our lads off and brought somebody else on to like go and get another goal. And I'm just thinking, just shore it up.
And
two goals in like the last 2 minutes. And you could see it coming as well.
Yeah.
You could see it coming. 5-0. And that was kind of when that happened, I thought they're not going to get it now.
No.
But to be honest with you, with all my mates there as well, I don't really want them to get promoted.
Do you think they'll need another season?
Not even another season. I don't really want them to get promoted because, no disrespect to them, they'd get hammered every week.
Right.
You know, you see it with the Northern teams and then they just all change. At least them boys will play there.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them win two cups and finish third.
Yeah.
That's perfect. And as it gets the Golden Boot, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, I think they'll be they're in the mix definitely for the Gold Cup, aren't they?
They are. I think
not mathematically out of the promotion.
Well, Brandon have got so many games in hand.
It's distorting that league table a little bit.
So one of Andy's lifelong dreams is to see Foxdale win a trophy and have a trophy parade through Foxdale.
And I still remember it. It was 93-94 as a 10-year-old. I was living. I was a Foxdale boy as well, Lee, and. Hanging out the window as the flatbed lorry went past. happy days. We had Craig Lemaire sent a picture in, didn't he, of the flatbed.
Yeah.
Cracking.
It's in the pub.
Is it?
Yeah, it's in the bottle.
Oh, right. And I should have brought it today. Got Lee to sign it. Oh, I found an old Foxdale AFC t-shirt.
There you go.
I'll tweet a picture later.
Well, in his final season, when he goes back to Foxdale.
I've got my Foxdale shirt as well.
Oh, really?
What I want to do is I want to try and get it signed by all the fellas from...
Right, that's...
If they're still alive, because, I mean... Paul Lemaire was still playing. He's 65, so... I'm joking.
So,
right.
Who was in the Foxdale squad when you first burst in?
Off the top of my head, I think my uncle Martin Castain was playing in nets.
Wow.
Stephen Parry played up front, Paul Crellin, right
there,
Stephen Harvey. There
he is. Yeah, there he is. Paz,
mentor up front.
Was he? Yeah, he was the poacher in the box.
He's still got one of the records at Peel for 15 goals in a game, I think. One behind Hurdy.
Yeah, he does tell us.
He likes to tell us, isn't
he? Stephen Harvey. Have you heard of the Fox?
Yes.
Fox still, Kane?
He's got some sort of Manx record as well for the oldest player, isn't it?
Funniest thing I've ever seen. This isn't a lie, right? Honestly. So Paul Lemaire was on the bench, right? And he had wellies on. No football boots. This isn't a joke. We were playing Corinthians and you could ask Nige Moody, Steve Glover, Jamie Stoy. They were all playing. I'm 15. I've got this like stupid long hair. Yellow. Do you remember they had like the football boots that had countries on back in like 2002? Yellow Brazil boots on. Put me like thermals on. Fox walks out, literally short up to here, and I was freezing cold. And he was like, "Right, we haven't got any because Fox they didn't have any warm jackets or anything like that." So what does Fox do? He gets a bin bag. No joke. Puts a bin bag on, right? So we're like, "Is he for real?" So we tried it, and I swear to God. It was hotter than anyone. Everyone's running around with these bin bags. Corinthians are just looking at it like, what is going on?
But you say that, but I've actually seen that as a performance and a tip now. They do it to sweat.
To get the sweat out, yeah. Well, the Fox there, we played Corinthians, everyone had a bin bag on as a warm-up top. That isn't a joke.
That is absolutely
revolutionary.
Howie's second part of his question, with coming back to normality, sort of, how does preparing for the Ireland Games and cycling compare to gearing up for the football like your previous game? You start, you look like you're doing a lot of training.
The training's completely different because with the football, there's a lot of tactics. You work on set pieces. Obviously, your own personal, your personal fitness and stuff like that. But there's a lot of set plays that you have to go through. There's a lot of information that you've got to absorb and remember and who you're going to be picking up. So, and ultimately, you want game time, don't you?
Mm.
With our training, it's just like non-stop. You don't stop. Whereas football was twice a week and you play on a Saturday.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm only really getting Monday off sometimes and Friday.
Wow.
You're riding all the other time. You do have easy rides, but you're still riding. And then obviously you do hard rides. So you've got like different zones. So you can either measure it on power or heart rate. And obviously I've got all the graphs and all the gear. And when you actually analyse it and look at it, you know where you've gone hard because it'll spike and then it'll dip and then it'll spike and then it'll dip. So you still do same things like last night, Phil Draw Road, for example, or the Balamoda. You just do repeat sets up and down there.
Wow.
And then you go for a ride and then you go and find another stretch of road. Nothing mental, just gradual.
Yeah.
So then you can actually get your effort on. That's like the NSC like, track this morning.
The gasworks.
Gasworks steps. Yeah. Exactly. Warpole Hill and Peel. Yeah. So it's that kind of stuff. And we've done that as well on the bikes. We've even done bike riding and running.
Wow.
And so I don't really know how it's going to compare to football because obviously they're two completely different sports.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of preparation.
Yes, it's some commitment you have to give for that, isn't it? But, the next question, our favourite, Joey Andrews. what was your best trick with a yo-yo?
probably getting it tangled up.
See, I think you should point out, actually, that Joe's tweet actually said, what's your best trick with a YOLO? So, Joe, just to let you know, I spent half an hour Googling that this morning to see if it was some sort of street term, apart from your only live once.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find anything, so thank God that the boys pointed out it was a typo. So, yeah. Yeah, they're quite big. I think Lee's a bit young for the craze. When we were about, Dave, well, yeah.
Okay, we're showing
our age a bit. But when it was, there was a yo-yo trick for a while, wasn't there? They lit up and all sorts of stuff. Like, you walk the dog.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Good question as always, Joe. I quite like the one you deleted hastily, which was to Lee, what temperature does he wash his clothes at? 30 or 40 degrees?
That's left to Emma. I think it's 30. The washing pile seems to build up.
Well, I'm not surprised all the training you're doing. And he also, just on the end of the tweet, fancy playing for Brandon next year.
I'll have to turn that down.
You think you need to speak to his agent? We had three tweets from the official Peel, as opposed to the unofficial Peel Twitter account. What's your fastest time cycle from Peel to Colby?
I was just trying to find it then on my phone. Yeah. If I was to hazard a guess, it would probably be less than 15 minutes. And if it's not, I'll do it.
Wow.
I know from my house to work,
yeah,
the quickest time I've done it in is 17 minutes, I think.
And how many miles is that?
That's Athol Street.
And how many miles?
About 8.5.
Flip
heck. Jeez, it took me a week to do that.
I didn't even drive it that quick.
Yeah.
Next question. Go on, Dave.
Best experience in a Peel shirt and an Isle of Man shirt, and how do they compare?
Isle of Man shirt. Oh, can I have two?
Go on, yeah.
Scoring against Jersey in front of 3,500.
Jersey fans. And Dave.
That was the one at the bowl.
That one, when we got beat 2-1.
That was just ridiculous. Because I didn't really expect to play. I think it was the fact, I think Frank got injured, didn't he?
I think he did.
I remember there was a cracking goal.
I ended up playing on the right.
Yeah.
And it was just, oh my God. I still get goosebumps thinking about it now. Because when you actually hear that roar,
yeah,
that's like when you're away.
Yeah. Did you play in the unbelievable game where they were?
I was on the bench. That's what I mean. That was in the build up to that.
Yeah.
So then my next moment would be obviously winning it and going on to represent England.
Yeah.
What an experience that was.
So we got a few. Was that Slovakia?
Slovakia, yeah. I wouldn't go back to Slovakia in a hurry, but. what?
Peter Sagan's from there, isn't he?
Sagan. Peter Sagan.
The boys always say it's the you are treated like a professional pretty much for that week.
I mean, when we went to Ireland on the training weekend, that was just. I shared a room with Wolfie. We sat there and we were just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Two boys, one to play for Foxdale, one to play for Ronaldsway.
Yeah, we were talking about it because I played against Wolf when he was at Ronaldsway.
Who did Wolfie not play for?
Honestly, the food, you know, drinks, just. Galore, you know, all of the
jelly beans,
everything, like literally training kit, down to your undies, and you keep the whole lot.
There you go.
So the third and final.
Well, you didn't say Peel shirt.
Oh yeah, Peel shirt.
FA Cup last year must have been pretty special. Did you win one of the junior cup teams, or were you straight in the first?
No, the junior cup team, I know the one you're talking about, where we were all the boys were drunk down there and Cowley got the flag. That was good, but my favourite moment was probably when I scored the hat-trick down at Rushen.
Right.
Because I think we were 3-0 down and we ended up winning 4-3. Terry Regau scored and then I scored a hat-trick.
Terry Regau.
Myers was there at the time as well. That was a good feeling.
Yeah.
Terry Regau, one of the Ireland's finest bus drivers now, I believe.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Rapid.
What a man. Regau Gate. That echo in the history forever, wasn't it? Final one from Peel. Again, I think a particularly loaded question. Do you have any plans for Easter Monday?
What date's that?
It's April, it'll be April.
Either way, it's FA Cup final then.
I think that clashes with me being away.
Oh, well, there you go, boys.
I'm pretty sure it does. I think I'm away.
Go on, Dave, your favourite question.
Oh, well, we can't ask an esteemed athlete this question, can we?
We asked Tati.
Well, true.
And he said he didn't eat them, so.
Well, yeah.
And Scott Campbell last week said he doesn't eat them either.
Right, so favourite Chinese takeaway?
Jade Harbour and Beale.
Oh, that's had a few votes, that. Is.
Unbelievable.
It is a good one.
Yeah. What's your dish of choice?
Have we got enough time?
I read this week, chicken and black bean sauce. Is it chicken and black bean? What's the one with the black bean?
We normally get about 3 or 4.
That's really good for recovery, apparently, because of the
deep fried shredded beef. That's good as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, I need to find this out for myself.
Right, on that bombshell, before we look ahead to Saturday's fixtures, here's a word from our sponsor. I'm going to keep this short. It's 2017, make a smart decision. After picking up over 100,000 members, Cornerstone are now so confident that once men try their razor and shaving products, they won't go back to their old razor. So you can now get an award-winning razor from just £4 with £10 off. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk/Manx to get started. Right, welcome back. We've got Lee Gale, cyclist, footballer, eater of Chinese takeaways with us. He's we're gonna look ahead to Saturday's fixtures, starting with the Premier League. And it's a bit of, I don't know how to describe this weekend. There's quite a few dead rubbers, isn't there?
Yeah, put it mildly. Yeah.
But the way I angled it in the Manx Independent, which is out today, 90p, is that it's a big weekend for those wanting to finish second, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The battle is really hotting up now, and obviously Corinthians have dropped a lot of points recently, so...
Yeah, they've had a bit of a wobble. They're taking on Douglas Athletic this weekend up at Bella Fletcher. You'd say up to a month ago you would have said home win, but you know, Douglas Athletic are capable on the day of pulling that result.
They are, and you just don't know which Corinthians side are going to turn up. I think that regardless of whether they finish second or not, they've had a fantastic season.
Yeah.
We can't overlook that. I just hope that they build on momentum, bring it into next season. But have you watched much Premier League football this season?
Aside from Peel?
Caught a couple of Peel games. I've seen absolutely no other action other than Foxdale.
Right. And Corinthians, you know, Sean Doyle is making a bit of a name for himself as a target man. Beanpole striker, he takes exception to. But they have had a wobble, haven't they? And it's just how they bounce back from that. And they all want to finish the season with a high and a couple of cup runs, really, wouldn't they?
Well, and as you say, fancy them to win this game, but Athletic will push them hard, I think.
It is the clash of target men, actually, thinking about it, because Martin Cowan will be up the other end, so we could...
A former podcast favourite.
Yes, we could. Still a podcast. He's not former about it, Dave. Still a podcast favourite. So there could be a lot of balls lump forward in this one, but that's where I'll be at. So maybe I'll keep a count of long balls and see how we get on and report back next week.
I hope it's better than your pulley game recently.
Oh yeah, in Storm Ida. Doris, I can't remember whatever it was called. Yeah, it was horrendous. That St Mary's Colby. St Mary's another team. They had a wobble. Now they seem to have steadied the ship. Nick Hurt seems to be in the coaching reins at the moment. They should beat Colby. Colby haven't only won once this year, haven't they?
Yeah, but. I think they're obviously still not mathematically safe either. They want to get the point on board just to ensure Premier League football next year, but they will struggle against St Mary's, I think.
Bold pitch, Lee. You know, a lot of people say it's a struggle there because it's a lot bigger than most grass pitches. You know, and St Mary's, do they have an advantage playing there? Though?
Not really.
No.
It's a pitch, isn't it?
Yeah.
there's some pitches like, you know, smaller ones. Yeah. It affects the way you play if you play wide with wingmen, but at the end of the day, it's a pitch with nets, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does it lend itself to like sort of free flowing passing football at the ball?
Yeah, definitely.
The surface?
Yeah. That side of it does.
Yeah.
Because obviously you could be playing on, let's think, no disrespect, but Union Mills in the middle of winter isn't the best, and if you're down at the bowl, you could win 9-0 down at the bowl.
Yeah.
But then you could draw 2-2 up there. So that's the.
Yeah.
So we're going for a home win in this one.
I think so, yeah.
They need the points to keep their... They're still currently second, aren't they? To keep their position if they want to finish best of the rest, as it were. Russian Old Boys. And I've said this is probably the game of the day.
I think so.
Russian, obviously, licking some quite big wounds after last week, Dave. You were there.
I was there, and they'll be kicking themselves. But regardless of the result, they can hold their heads up high. They really pushed Geordie's hard in that. And it was a 90th minute equaliser. As soon as it went in, you knew which way the game was going to go. When Jack McFay scored after 30 seconds of extra time, it was the writing was on the wall. But even despite that, they had a great game. And a player that particularly impressed me was Jamie Johnston. Fantastic player. He just works his socks off. And he works well with Mike Williams. And if the two of them link up well again, Old Boys could be in trouble.
I don't know. I think Old Boys might be a bit few short this year. Phil Knox is missing. Not this year, this week even. So that, I think this could be... I think they won the reverse fixture, though. 5-1, didn't they?
It was all there.
So this is, you know... This could go either way, which is no help at all for those of you listening at home. But, yeah, it's going to be a good game.
I think it will be.
Croydon Lowry's always good to go and play at, especially for a player.
My favourite away game.
Yeah, the Wailing Wall.
Love it.
Yeah.
Helps when you get a hat-trick.
Yeah.
And work down there as well. Loved it.
So, this one is, you know, should be a good game. If you're at loose end on a Saturday, this would be where I would recommend. And Port Erin, although there is a lot of roadworks down there, I believe, at the moment. So
Watch out for Duck Street.
Good day with the travel and traffic here.
I'm a Southerner these days, mate.
So what you're saying is add a bit of extra time onto your journey time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Public information, infotainment. Right, Udi Mills, St George's. Lee, where do we stop with St George's? We're running out of superlatives, really, aren't we? We've said... Already a couple of times this season, they didn't look at their best at the start of the season, and yet they've only dropped 3 points, and that was against Corinthians, and they've won every other game.
I keep saying it to people when they ask me about it. I genuinely don't see anybody dethroning them. Yeah. I see people getting close and potentially beating them in the one-off games or a final, but over the course of a season, it's not happening.
No. It's that staying mentality, and it doesn't paint a good picture for Union Mills, who
absolutely
need points,
not.
Doesn't it?
No, they'll be staring down they already are, but really staring down the barrel if they lose this. They're running out of games fast, aren't they? But they do have the doubleheader to come up against Corby, don't they?
Yeah, but I think I said it in the paper again today that will get them 6 points at best.
Yeah.
And they're seven behind Corby. You know, Corby have still got to play Ramsey twice. They need bonus points from somewhere. I think they've got to play Peel, Corinthians, St George's and St Mary, something stupid like that. So it's not looking good for Mills, is it?
Absolutely not. So. Away win.
Away win. Ramsey versus Peel, obviously your club, Lee. The reason I say Lacey is because this will be his 600th appearance if he makes it, because obviously he was on for that against Braddon on Saturday. The game was postponed, as many were. Ramsey, Peel, one of probably the most played fixtures in Manx football, you'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal achievement for Lacey.
I know, he'd probably play another 600 as well. there's no sign of him stopping. And he's still one of the best left-backs on the island.
Yeah. Do you think he would have made a good cyclist? He always seems to have a pretty good engine.
No.
Blunt to the point.
Ramsey, of course, they've picked up a couple of decent points in recent weeks against Lexi and Old Boys.
Yeah. So.
But it was 6-1 when these two met in the cup about a month ago, and I think Billy Kenyon got a hat trick in that match.
He did, yeah. Don't know what the pitch is going to be like up there, to be honest.
It will be it'll be soft. Yeah. Let's put it that way. But I think we're all in favour of a Peel win, especially you, Lee.
I think so. 5-0 for me.
5-0. You heard it here first.
What's it like playing at Ballaclone? Do you like that stadium?
I used to.
Yeah.
Before the pitch went to.
But even the stands and because there's that concrete wall behind as well.
Yeah,
people don't really go there anymore. No. I think when they got rid of the box nets, just changed everything. That was like a feature of going up there.
Yeah.
It was like Colby. That was another feature of going there.
I remember one of the best clips of Ballaclone I've seen was, I think it must have been Air Ramsey of Derby. You might have seen this on YouTube. This was like early camera phone days. And there was a couple of lads behind one of the goal where that concrete face is with one of those air horns.
Oh, yeah.
And every time Dorsey went to take a goal kick, they were doing it.
Yeah.
And when Dorsey was playing for air. And it was so funniest thing because obviously, you know, Dorsey's temperament can be tested at times, can't it? So he was losing it. He's probably gone from the internet now, isn't it? You know, these days.
We can find it, come on. We can put appeal out.
If you've got a link to that, please send it. Tweet it to us at ManxFootyBlog. We'll just love it.
Chris Horton will have it.
Chris Horton, in the archives.
He'll have it stored somewhere. Just be careful what you go looking for.
Peel's Western neighbours, St John's, they're at home to Laxey in the final game of the top flight this weekend. This was 3-3 in the return fixture, so I build it as goals galore. But who knows? These two are both teams that are a bit Jekyll and Hyde at times, aren't they?
Very Jekyll and Hyde, but both good sides on their day as well. I actually, earlier in the season, I watched Peel play St John's down at Colby, and St John's did really well in that game. I don't know if you were down there, Lee, or not, but it was 2-1. Just like that, on their day, they can pull out a big result. probably fancy them to just about edge this one, but you never know which sort of team that Laxey are going
to
put out.
Yeah, Laxey have struggled a bit since Sean Kelly went off to Japan, and he's big in Japan. Made that joke at the time, I'm going to make it again. He obviously contributed a lot of goals and stuff at the time. But Andy Ball's been having a good season. I've got a lot of Ball, if you're listening, we often have conversations about biscuits on Twitter. But he's having a good season at the moment for Laxey.
So do you think he'll move to a different club in the off-season, or will the merry-go-round continue?
Well, that's it. He's still got a few clubs to tick in the Northern Quarter, hasn't he? Yeah. I think he's played for Youth the Air and now Laxey. So maybe big city move to Ramsey coming?
Ballacloan.
Yeah, there we go. Right, Division 2, kick off with potentially the promotion party, Dave.
It is. Royal, they need just one win now. They're back to the Premier League next year. And they'll fancy their chances this weekend. They're away at D&D on their old stomping ground at Nobles Park. So,
oh, quite poetic that day, isn't it?
Yeah, imagine that. But they've been out of the Premier League now for 6 years, I think Hattie said. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a long wait for them, but they've been irrepressible this season. So,
They've shown what Lee touched on before, a consistency that Geordies have, that Royal have put together this season, haven't it, really?
Yeah.
They've been, I think there was maybe a 5 weeks period where they didn't have games, but they've still, that could sometimes derail you, and that was something we levelled that Foxdale might struggle with.
Yeah. They've got the winter break, haven't they,
yeah,
from October to February.
So Royal have managed to overcome that, and they just can score so many goals, can't they? There was 11 last week.
Yeah, they just
and they had a man sent off.
So. Yeah. Even when it's 3-0, I think, at that point, yeah. But they just, when we had Quinny in, he talks about his attacking football philosophy, and he doesn't let anything get in the way of that. They just play to attack all the time, and it just blows all the opponents away.
How do you think that sort of style will get on in the Premier League, though? If you go gung ho, you're going to get frowned out, surely.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
especially against the better teams that play football.
Yeah.
You soak up for the first sort of 5-10 minutes, but generally, it's like I say, the better teams are obviously the fitter teams as well,
yeah.
And that's where games are won and lost.
I think Athletic have done well this season because they've played to a solid shape, haven't they? They're harder to beat, more compact, tend to play one up front. And I think Royal maybe have to come up with a plan B next season. But we'll see. They've got to beat D&D, of course, on Saturday.
No mean feat.
D&D will have to spoil the odds, don't they? I think they beat Foxdale this season. Foxdale will ride
4-3.
Now. Yeah,
they beat Castan as well.
Yeah, so they're capable of a result.
On the day, yeah, absolutely.
As we say pretty much every week.
Yeah, we do.
Just for Dave Matheson. Although I believe the Nintendo, what do you call it?
Switch
is out now, so we might not see him for a few months.
Well, he did promise he'd come on the podcast before the end of the season, though, so we might have a nation for that.
We might hold him to that, and he could give us a review of the new Nintendo, what's it called?
Well, the game consoles are available.
They are, of course. Yes, the Sega Mega Drive is still available. Foxdale, your old club, Braddon, this is a big game really, isn't it?
Yes, Andy Glover, I think he'll be looking to get a few goals, but up there on that pitch, anything can happen, so I'd like to say
and
a draw.
And it usually does.
It does. I'd like to say a draw. I think it'll be close. Won't be as...
I think it was quite one-sided. I can't remember, the way game was that...
It was a cup game.
Foxdale won, didn't they?
Yeah, I think, but there was also a cup game recently which Braddon won 4-0 between the two. Last month or so, but again, this is at Foxdale, so.
So you say anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Obviously, one of your old teammates, Cozzy's having a good game. Season.
Cozzy?
Cousin.
Yeah. Obviously, I got the looks, he didn't.
He's having a good season up front for them.
Yeah, he's like a bull, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just wish he'd have had a bit more of a chance at Peel because.
They're crying out for a striker
when
now.
When he did get in, he scored it, and he's such a handful up front, just needs to tone it down a little bit, and you know he's susceptible to a red card now and again, and he's a little bit rash with his tackling.
Well, that breakthrough season, he was the leading marksman in Europe, wasn't he, for Foxdale? I think he scored about 60 goals.
Well, he scored 52 at Peel last year.
Wow.
So
he knows where the back of the net is.
Yes. You never know, maybe he'll be back there next season. You know, if Ash isn't there.
Well, look at you creating rumours here, Dave.
I know, it makes rumour mill.
We don't usually ramp that up till about May. Onken round, another two teams. Onken need the points to keep in that Gold Cup mix, don't they?
They do. They've had a fantastic season, Onken. I was at the cup game between these two around a couple of weeks ago, and Onken is just too strong up front. I think Joe Rees got 4 goals in that game. Mm-hmm. He's too powerful for most defences to handle. Again, you would fancy them to win this, but Moran, under Dave Broom, they're a really hard working side. They've got some good players there.
A young side as well. We had the boys in recently, yeah. Colin and Dave. And, It's good to hear the monkey... Did you have your monkey brains? I meant to ask you.
I didn't, no, I'm afraid. It wasn't on offer, so...
I saw you had a lovely... You took a picture with the legends of...
Willie Cowley.
Pardon?
Willie Cowley.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was a who's who.
It was. It's the only reason I went there. I think this will be a close game, but Onker should probably just about shape this.
Yeah, I think you're probably right at home at the Mighty Nivison, yeah. The home of the spiritual home in stock car racing. Jim's Castletown. Now, Castletown should win this.
They should, but the Jekyll and Hyde side is Jim's.
Yeah, we might need to come up with another cliche for inconsistency because we're using Jekyll and Hyde quite a lot, Dave.
Yeah, we're poor journalists.
Yeah, Jim's Castletown. Where are they now? Third?
Still second, but...
Running out of games quickly.
They've got three games left, yeah. I mean, they will probably get Gold Cup quite comfortably now, but the promotion's going to be a big ask because Braddon will overtake them in the next couple of games, I think. But you never know in mixed football. A couple of bad results for Braddon and Castletown could still be going up somehow.
Jim's won at Youth League last week in one of the four or five games to go ahead, didn't they?
Yeah, 3-1 and... coincidentally, Jordan Cooper plays for Jim's, former Castletown youngster, and he's in good form. He scored twice in that game, so I think he'll be up for this one.
This could be a high-scoring encounter, is that what we're saying, at Tramode?
If it goes ahead, yeah.
If it goes ahead. You know, Tramode, one of the traditionally sticky pitches in the league.
Hated it. Hated the changing rooms more.
They are quite small, aren't they?
Oh, don't go there.
The final second tier game of the weekend is Rycob versus Governors Athletic. Youth League back to back defeats, maybe even more. Governors will be licking their wounds a bit after 11-1 hammering. They seem to have turned a corner prior to that, so they'll be eager to show they're not, you know, they'll continue this good season which they're having.
Yeah, it's a winnable game for them. You know, as you say, they took a bit of a hammering last week, but most teams have against Royal, to be fair, this season, so they shouldn't let their heads drop just because of that. Youthy, yeah, they'll want to bounce back from that.
Youthy, you know, we were in the Premier League only a couple of seasons ago, Lee, and they've just sort of sinking without trace, really.
Do you not think that's the Northern thing, though, where they sort of all switch around clubs?
Well, it happens in the West as well, doesn't it, to be fair? You get...
Not your better players.
Right.
I think the players that obviously want games, that's no disrespect to you know, anyone, but obviously if people are on the bench and you're paying your subs, you want to play every week, but we've always said it, you know, with Ramsey, Ayre and Youth Centre... Mm-hmm. If they get promoted, the whole team just leaves and goes to the other team.
Yeah.
And that's, you look at it, you look at Castletown, they're quite a young team. Do they really want to go up?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've got a lot of friends in Castletown. And if they go up, there's the chance that they'll get hammered every week.
Yeah.
You know, they've got Ash and Alex Crawley, who are both good players, but the rest of them seem quite young.
Well, this, you know, we've brought it up the last couple of weeks, the three leagues, you know, is it crying out for it more than ever?
Something needs to happen, doesn't it? Mm. I mean, I think there's been a missed opportunity somewhere with not having a team going and playing away.
Yeah.
But it's easy to sit here and say that, isn't it?
Well, we had a tweet this week, didn't we, at the start of the week from a gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he said that the Northwest Counties League is going into a restructure for 2018 and there'll be regional divisions. And I think he was suggesting would there be, you know, I think we'd probably be lumped in with Liverpool or Manchester or someone to fifth.
That's what you say, though. I mean, if you look at the league over the last, I mean, stats don't lie and the table doesn't lie at the end of the season. The Isle of Man has always done well as a team.
Mm.
If you take St George's and the players that are involved with the Island team out of it and you're a club, look how close that league is.
Yeah.
Look at it now. We said who was second in the league?
St Mary's.
Down to, I think, St John's or Waxley or someone. There's like 4 points in it.
Yeah.
And that was the same last year, the year before that, and the year before that.
Yeah, so...
Do you think that lends itself to, let's say, three leagues if you have the top eight and then obviously you've got...
Yeah, then you've got like the ones, Ramsey, Mills, Colby, Castown, Braddon, Dougie Royal, and then you could have a league below that, Onken, Pulley, Foxdale, D&D.
I think also it would... extend the competition in the season, isn't it? We've started off by saying there's a bit of dead rubbers this week. You're still playing for promotion or even relegation towards the end of the season, because if you've only got that many teams, it's always going to be tighter, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think it's definitely worth considering. As Lee says, I mean, a lot of people think now that something just needs to happen. It's
like you say, that you want a competitive game at the end of the day, and like the one thing that I hate, I always hated turning up, not knowing you were going to win comfortably.
Yeah.
But there were games where you knew you were going to win 10, 12, 13. You don't get any enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
And then it just gets stupid because everyone wants to score. You don't play football and it's a case of,
let's pretend we're 10 and see who can score the most goals.
Yeah.
Whereas you play against Rush and Geordie, St Mary's, Old Boys, and, you know, it's a good game.
Yeah.
Because you know on your day you could win it, you know.
But you can also lose it as well.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Right, well, Lee, I think we've taken up enough of your valuable time. You've probably got to go out and ride about 40 miles now for the rest of your lunch hour or something like that.
No, go back and do as little as possible.
Thanks for coming in. Good luck for the rest of the cycling season, and especially in Gotland. Hopefully Dave will be there to cheer you on.
Absolutely. I'll hopefully be taking some in-focus photos.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe deciding a couple more medals this year, Dave, if that's your plan.
Well, God, that was controversial.
You're off to Combi Showdown this week, aren't you? Flag that up.
I like to do one copy game a year, don't I? But yeah,
it's how you keep your license, isn't it?
I think it's just so I can go to the Banksy afterwards. But, no, again, this should be an interesting game. It's all tight at the top of the Copy One table, isn't it? So Old Boys are closing in on the title. So
that's what I was going to say. You're off to Blackberry Lane, Old Boys rushing. That's first and second at the moment.
Yes, Old Boys look favourites, but you can't discount rushing. I think. I can't remember what the score was in the reverse fixture, but I think it was close, so this should be a good game.
Right, so you can follow that game, and I'll be at Corinthians Douglas Athletic and tweeting my little heart out. And so you can follow that, it's at Manx40blog. While you can find all the podcasts handily in one place at audioboom.com/channel/Manx football. Or, of course, if you're that way inclined, you can look on iTunes. Right, Lee, thanks again. Thanks, Dave.
Cheers, guys.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.